Coming up on this episode of Nintendo Cartridge Society, finally, you can relive the sensation of opening a crummy booster pack of Pokemon cards on your phone. It's dangerous to go alone, so the Nintendo Cartridge Society goes with you. Welcome to Nintendo Cartridge Society. My name is Patrick Ellers, and I am joined, as I'm always joined, by my co-host, Mark Mitchell. We've got a good show for you today. We're going to be talking about the news from the week, including the announcements out of the Pokemon Day Pokemon Presents. And then on Thursday, it is the epic conclusion to Mario vs. Donkey Kong Month. Oh, banana. But Mark, in the meantime, how's it going?
It's going great. It's going great. I was watching Murder, She Wrote, which is my want. Just because I haven't talked about it that much on the show in the past 12 months doesn't mean it's not happening.
It's been a little while since I've heard you utter the name Jessica Fletcher. So.
It has. Yeah. But I still watch it. And it was late. I had been working, and so I was kind of like bleary-eyed.
Yeah.
And I was watching.
You just needed something on the TV that you knew you didn't hate.
Exactly. Yeah. And I guess this is maybe a little bit relevant because Donkey Kong wears a tie, but it was an episode, and people were, you know, they were like going to a fancy dinner or something, and the gentlemen in it were wearing ties.
Oh, okay. So obviously it made you think of Donkey Kong.
It made me think of Donkey Kong. But no, what it did make me think of, you know, in my kind of like just incredibly tired state was ties are really absurd.
Yeah, they're crazy.
Why do we wear ties? It's just like, oh, I need to make this shirt a little fancier, so I'm going to put this.
Well, and we've all agreed that a tie makes it more fancy.
Yes.
And I think it's really just, it's like a status thing because it's inconvenient to do. Right? Like,
that's probably true. Do you think, I wonder if it's just like, you have to know how to tie a tie.
You have to know how to do it, and you have to, like, take the time. So, like, if you're wearing a tie, people are like, oh, he took the extra, you know, 7 minutes that it takes to look up a YouTube video how to tie a tie, and then mess it up 3 times, and then get it right on the 4th time.
It's just like everybody's wearing really small bibs.
Yeah. It is like, really narrow bibs that you also don't want to get dirty.
Yeah.
What if instead of ties, we just started wearing bibs?
And like the fancier or like the more ruffles that it has.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, okay. So I feel like in older
it's like a dickie, right?
Yeah, dickie. Yeah. Is that what I'm thinking
is
of?
What's the difference between a dickie and a bib? Right into Nintendo Cartridge
Society.
Well,
a dickie, I feel like you like tuck it in. I'm thinking of in.
Into what though? A vest?
I think, and with a cummerbund. I'm thinking of I'm thinking of Peter Pan, the animated movie.
Right.
And in the beginning,
right.
The dad and mom are like getting ready for a fancy dinner.
Right.
And the kids drew like a pirate map on his.
Right. On the dickie. But, and it's
and it
like,
was like really starched. So
I think
it could,
it's too starched. I think that's the issue. Yeah.
But well, why the issue in the cartoon?
Well, yeah. Well, right. Yes, I think. But do Dickies have a like reputation for being like uncomfortably firm?
I don't know anybody.
I've never worn.
Yeah,
one.
I feel like they're. Horribly
in fact, I've
out
said Dickie like 6 times now, and I'm not even sure that's what it is.
Yeah, I don't really because it's almost like a. It feels like a clip-on tie, but for the front of your shirt. Otherwise, what is the point of it?
Yeah, I mean, listener. Picture us both wearing t-shirts, both like the same sort of like heather gray / black t-shirt. Yeah. Mine says Star Wars on it. Mark says nothing. So, yeah, what do we know about ties and cummerbunds?
Clearly
and,
nothing.
And Dickies? Maybe not even that they're called that. Have you ever owned a cummerbund?
No. No, I've never. Have you owned a cummerbund?
Yeah, I played in orchestras and stuff. So, like, I owned a tux and tails and, like, the whole nine yards.
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense.
But no, like, I hate wearing a tie. I'm bad with knots, generally speaking. Mm-hmm. And I also, like, just get weird around, like, fashion stuff or, like, dressing well. I just don't like doing it. And so, like, as soon as it comes to, like, wearing a tie, it's, like, all of my, like, you know, natural aversions like converging onto one thing. So I don't like ties.
I don't really have an occasion to wear ties anymore, but I had years of training of, you know, going to church and like tying one every week. So, you know, I think in a pinch, like the muscle memory would kick in. It's been a while since I've had to like tie a tie.
You had to wear ties to church?
We did wear ties to church. Wow. Yeah. I think the muscle memory would kick in and I could do a full Windsor or a half Windsor.
Wow.
Like, I think I'm pretty sure I could do it, but I haven't practiced one. It's been a very long time.
Yeah.
At least years, a couple of years since I've worn a tie.
Yeah. I have a mini freak out every time I have to do it. And like for a wedding or something.
Uh-huh.
And I always figure it out, but like it takes too long. I don't like knots. I don't like doing it.
I never learned any knots other than, like, I'm not going to be able to sail a boat.
Well, when you go sailing.
Right. Yeah, of course.
How fast can we get to a sailing joke? All right. If people would like to support us so we can buy a boat and go sailing on it and practice our knots, you can go to patreon.com/NintendoCartridgeSociety, where if you support us at the 8-bit or 16-bit levels, you can get access to our once-a-month episodes of various miniseries that we are putting out. We are currently trucking through NCS Arcade.
That's right. We just released an episode about the Nintendo 64 game Jet Force Gemini.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, we talked about The Legend of Zelda, The Minish Cap. And what do these games have in common? They are games that neither Patrick nor I have ever beaten and are available on Nintendo Switch Online plus Nintendo Switch Online expansion pack.
That's right. We announced it on the episode itself. But for those of you who are not listening to the episodes in the premium feed there, our game for March for the next episode of NCS Arcade is going to be Kirby's Tilt and Tumble on the Game Boy Color.
Yeah, and this is the first, I think, if I'm not mistaken, showing up on Nintendo Switch Online is the first time this game has been available since the Game Boy Color.
Well, and it is primarily a like motion control game. It's one of those that had like the little gyro inside the Game Boy cart itself. So it's a cool, like, you know, Nintendo doing something weird, putting hardware inside their software, and now it's being ported to, now it has been ported to the Nintendo Switch Online library. I'm very excited to dig into this game. I've played the first level in the past, and I'm excited to get deeper.
Yeah, I've never played any of it before, so I'm excited to check that out.
Look, I love it when Kirby's the ball. He's the best ball. Mario can't be a ball.
Nope.
And never mind Mario Pinball Land on the GBA. You should be, if you're not already in our Discord, you should join our Discord. All you gotta do is email us at NintendoCartridgeSociety@gmail.com, and we will send you an invitation there. You can hang out with the other people in the Discord. We're talking about the games they're playing. They're talking about the show. They're talking about news in Nintendo. One of these days, we got to get a Nintendo Direct, and we'll all be in there talking about it. So join us there if you can. Also, just wanted to plug again that my first issue of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle source book is out in comic book stores right now. Issue 2 comes out in April. This is the Turtles Encyclopedia that I wrote. I wrote this book. And if you are interested in what I have to say about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, you should check that out at your local comic book stores. Mark, I'm heading into my deadline for issue 3.
Praying for you.
I'm going crazy.
Yeah.
Going crazy. It's going to be great. Mark, I get excited about some of the things that I'm like coming up with to go in this thing.
How I was going to say,
yeah,
like when you finish the final issue,
yeah,
do you want me to get you a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle tie?
Double no. When I finish with the final issue, I want to not think about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles for like a month. Which I think is probably the longest I've ever gone without thinking about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in my life. And also, I think it'll be impossible because the new series, the new number one that's being launched, written by Jason Aaron, looks like it's going to be great. It's got a murderer's row of artists, Joelle Jones, Chris Burnham, Raphael Albuquerque, and Cliff Chang. So like amazing comic book artists launching the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles number one. It's going to be awesome. No, I won't be able to not think about it. Pre-order that. Sorry, just a little like PSA here. The release of my issues are to like sort of happened at the same time as the release of issue 150, which is the final issue that Sophie Campbell is writing. And that issue comes out in April or May. And it's not out yet. Obviously, I have read it because I'm, you know, writing stuff that is going to be like a part of that. And I just want people to know that issue 150 is something special, that it is like if the other big Turtles events have been like the Infinite Crisis of, to use like another comics metaphor, like in the DC universe, if they have been Infinite Crisis, issue 150 is Final Crisis. It's Grant Morrisonian in its weirdness and the way it like loops back around itself and like to Turtles history as a whole. It's going to be a very special issue. And I just think people should look into it if they like Turtles at
all.
That's
really fun.
It's so like, I can't wait for people to read it. Anyway, we're doing a show about Nintendo here. So now it's time that we talk about what we've been playing this week. Obviously, we've both been playing Jet Force Gemini.
Yeah, and that's basically all I played.
Yeah, it's most of what I played too. I mentioned it last week, but part-time UFO, as it is on Switch and was on sale not that long ago, is another game that I just like pick up from time to time when it's like when I'm at brain overload and I just need to like release, like when you want to watch a Murder, She Wrote.
Yeah.
So I continue to pick that up and mess around with it. There are a lot of hats that you can buy in this game.
Oh.
And sometimes the hats have like special little like feature. I bought one this weekend. It's like a bee costume. So like my little UFO looks like a bee. And when you push a button, he makes like a little buzzy like animation.
That's cute.
It's really cute. And there's a bunch of these things. I'm so happy every time I get to buy one. Not much game playing for me.
Yeah, all the time that I had to play games, I put into playing Jet Force Gemini.
And if you want to hear about that, you need to check out our episode on the Patreon. All right, well, that's what we've been playing this week. Let's get into the new releases and what we might be playing next week.
Every dog has its day, and today, Tuesday, March 5th, is Plumbers Don't Wear Ties Definitive Edition.
And this is the definitive edition of Plumbers Don't Wear Ties? So
Plumbers Don't Wear Ties, actually,
I had a tie talk today.
Tie Talk? Is that a spin-off podcast that we'll have to do?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have much to add to it. What is Plumbers Don't Wear Ties?
Okay, so I know the title only by its reputation as one of the worst video games of all time.
And this is the definitive version of it.
Yes, and so you know how like a few years ago we got, I think Night Trap is in a different class of game than Plumbers Don't Wear Ties, but a few years ago we got the definitive edition or like a release of Night Trap on Switch. And so I think it's like a novelty item, right? You have one of the worst video games of all time in Plumbers Don't Wear Ties. It's a, in quotes, full motion video, like story game that was released on the 3DO. And it's like notoriously one of the, like a very terrible video game. I say full motion video in quotes because only the title screen is. And then once you actually get into it, you're just making selections and it's still images with actors reading the lines over it. And so it's, I think it got famous because it was on an episode of the Angry Video Game Nerd in like 2009.
Sure, that makes sense.
But even when I was looking it up, even in like 1997, Electronics Gaming Monthly was calling it one of the worst video games ever. So the reputation is it stinks, and Limited Run Games is putting out a version of it digitally. You can also buy a physical version. So it's just kind of like a novelty item.
Right.
Plumbers Don't Wear Ties. Available now.
So what do you think? You think video game preservation has gone too far?
Yes. Yeah, must be stopped.
Speaking of preservation, a game that we didn't shout out that came out last week is the on the Switch, Picross S Plus, which is the sort of like portal into the compilation of 3DS Picross games. available on the Switch. So it's a little bit like the way the Capcom Arcade thing works, where you buy the first one and it's $5, and that is sort of the gateway into allowing you to buy the subsequent games in the series, which is just like add-on content for this S Plus, and each one is $5. So it's a lot. It's access to a lot of Picross games that are, of course, no longer downloadable on the 3DS because that game eShop no longer exists.
And then on Friday, March 8th, Unicorn Overlord. I always want to say Overload, but it's not. It's Unicorn Overlord.
Yes.
Is released on Switch. And this is the game from Vanillaware, developed by Vanillaware, published by Atlus, that we saw featured in the partner showcase just a few weeks ago.
And that we had seen in a Nintendo Direct previously. Yes.
Yep. That's right. And it's like a tactical RPG.
With really like beautiful, fluid, like anime style graphics.
Which is really what like Vanillaware is known for. Their beautiful hand-drawn art style.
Yeah. The game looks cool. There is a demo available now. And I know that like it's tactics-y, but like is also a little bit of a like the gameplay and the decisions are all like on the front end. Like you set up the characters and then sort of the battling happens automatically. I don't know. It seems cool and is a game that I would like to check out when I get to a point that I can check out games. But also when I get to a point where I can check out games, I'm going to play Final Fantasy VII Rebirth and Princess Peach Showtime, which will be coming out around the time that I get past this deadline. So we're only a couple weeks away, right? Is it?
Yeah, from Princess Peach Showtime. Right? It's not next week. I think it's like the 22nd.
After. Okay. Quickly checking our calendars.
Yes, yeah. So we have
22nd is correct.
Yeah, we have a little bit yet.
Yeah. And then Mark, we're off the map at that point.
I know.
Then there are no more Nintendo first party releases that have dates. We'll talk about that in a little bit, but so far, what we know, that's the last one.
Crazy.
All right. Those are the new releases. Let's close this segment out. Which brings us to a regular segment on our show. It is time for 433. In 1952, American composer John Cage wrote a piece called 433, wherein a performer or group of performers did not play their instruments for 4 minutes and 33 seconds. For the purposes of this show, our instruments are talking about Nintendo. So, for the duration of one performance of 433, Mark and I will talk about something not at all Nintendo related, thus fulfilling the contract of the piece. Mark, let's talk about movie snacks.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to a movie.
Yep. I'm picturing it.
Yeah, yeah. You're picturing the floor is kind of sticky. You had to park in a parking structure of some kind. The man takes your ticket. Your ticket's on your phone, so they just sort of scan the thing. Are you getting any snacks? Normally, are you a snacks guy?
Normally, I'm not a snacks guy.
Right.
But if I am doing a snack,
What does it take for you to like do a snack? Like what makes you, what's the trigger for opting into a snack?
Okay, so here's what I would really truly love.
Yeah.
If a movie theater offered this, I would love it. It's like a buffet for movie theater snacks.
Because in the theater?
You know, you're at the snack bar.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, you're at the snack bar.
Right.
You got a little buffet going.
Right.
Theater snacks.
You come in with like a tray and you get a scoop of Bunch of Crunch
exactly.
And like some Butterfinger BBs.
This is exactly what I want. I want a little bit of popcorn.
Right.
A little bit of Sour Patch Kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Right.
Because I don't need a whole bucket of popcorn.
Let's talk about that for a second.
Yeah.
Because I am also I like popcorn just fine. But even the smallest size popcorn, I'm like, I will eat a quarter of this, maybe.
Right.
And then A, it gets too like cold and isn't fun anymore. But B, I just like stop. I lose interest in it.
What about a popcorn? Since we're just spitballing great ideas.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What about, you know how they have those electric mugs that you can buy that keep your coffee like tea warm at like a specific temperature?
You think they give you one of those with just like unpopped corn in it, so you can just pop it fresh?
I think you have popped corn.
Okay.
But you're putting it in a bucket,
uh-huh.
But the bucket has a warmer at the bottom.
I feel like you're just gonna burn the popcorn then.
But it's like, it's keeping it warm. It's not cooking it.
Is it warmer than your lap? Because that's where the where you're keeping the bucket otherwise, right?
I do think it would be warmer than your lap.
Your lap is 100 degrees.
What about one of the... I guess
it's
that's
the temperature
true.
Of your body, so yeah.
No, I guess that's true. I've never thought about it.
You should think about it.
What about... Another great idea.
Yeah.
The idea of like something that's keeping it warm, not good. What about those... You know how they have the drink thermoses that can keep cold things cold and hot things hot?
Sure.
What if you put popcorn inside those? Would that keep it warm?
And then you suck it out through a straw?
Not necessarily. Maybe you have like
I would love
you have like a gate someone, that you like
someone
open
brought
up.
A thermos full of popcorn to the movies. That would be great. I would love that. No, I think you have hit on something very good.
Thank
though,
you.
That like if they could just give you like a tray or like a divided something that has a little bit of popcorn, some like chocolatey something, some like little pretzel bites maybe. And a third thing.
I think I guess what
thing.
We're talking about, a lot of places offer like a kids pack, which has a little bit
right.
of popcorn,
this is, yeah.
a little drink,
yeah.
usually like an Airhead or something.
I feel like you're roasting me here. That what I want
no,
is a kids meal.
No, I'm not at all. Yeah. It's like when like McDonald's for a little while, I think, unless I hallucinated this, in the early aughts, had like they had a Mighty Meal or something like that where it was a little bit
sure it's like
bigger
a big
than...
kids meal yeah.
yes yeah. yeah and I feel like they could do that at a movie theater. I don't actually want a buffet at a movie theater. I think that'd be super gross.
Right. I mean, movie theaters are already like pretty gross when it comes to food. I was at the Vista here in Los Angeles recently for a screening of Oppenheimer. And I kind of rushed there. I didn't get to eat lunch. And so I was like, I'm going to go to the concession stand here. It's owned by Quentin Tarantino now. It was closed for like 3 years to remodel. Maybe more than 3 years. What else, you know, like these concessions, they got to be like, it's got to be a classier thing now. And they have beer and they have wine, but otherwise it's like exactly the same. But I did get a vegan hot dog.
Oh, okay.
Because I was like, that's the closest thing to like actual food here. And Mark, it was fine.
Do you know, do they have, I haven't been to the Vista since it reopened.
Yeah.
Did they have, previously the Vista had sour, oh, I guess we'll never know.
I don't know if they have Sour Patch Kids or Punch Straws.
They used to have Sour Jacks, which are like the gross version of Sour Patch Kids.
Oh, interesting. But it's the same basic candy, but just like not
it's
good.
It's the same idea.
I did not mean to offend or upset you, Mark. All right. We were accompanied today by pianist Kyle Shaw. Mark, let's get into the news.
Last Tuesday morning, there was a short Pokemon Day Pokemon Presents presentation that we...
6 a.m.
6 a.m. Mm-hmm. That's right. The big news, I would say, was...
Well, let's not skip over the small news, just because there's so much small news that is just celebrating the 4.5-year anniversary of mobile games.
They love that.
They love these 4.5-year anniversaries.
So that's the small news, which we've now acknowledged.
Thank you.
So the big news was the announcement of Pokemon Legends... Z through A? Z-A? Actually, until I went to read it, I actually have no idea how this should
right.
be spoken.
It is stylized as Z-A, right?
Mm-hmm.
But is that Z through A? Is that Z minus A? Is that Z to A? Is it just Z-A? Is it Z-A? It could be any of these things.
It could be.
Probably not Z minus A. That's...
Probably
not. It's not a math problem.
But what if it... I mean, in Pokemon, what if it is?
Yeah, what if it is? We wouldn't know.
The game was announced.
Mm-hmm.
It's for, quote, simultaneous release worldwide in 2025. And this is
like all Pokemon games have been for the last decade.
Yeah, so interesting to call it out.
Mm-hmm.
For a little bit, I think there were some people speculating, like, what does this mean? Does the fact that it's coming in 2025 mean that it's going to be a Switch 2 release, and simultaneous release means that it's going to be on both the Switch 2 and the Switch? I think that's
simultaneous
too much
just
into
means
it.
Worldwide, right?
I think so, yeah.
I would also. There has never, we're still expecting sort of at this point that the successor to the Switch, the next hardware from Nintendo, will be releasing in 2025. And if Pokemon has a mainline game, like a new not weird spin-off, and I guess maybe you could argue that the Legends games are spin-offs, but they feel so mainline-y. They've never had one on hardware in their first year of release. Never.
I think Legends qualifies as a spin-off.
I feel like it qualifies as a spin-off in the same way that, like, Let's Go qualifies as a spin-off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're the sort of, like, they're the spin-offs that are closest to the mainline franchise.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
It's not a snap. It's not a pocket tournament. You know, it's not a mystery dungeon.
Yeah.
It is a standard bearer for the franchise.
Well, speaking of Let's Go, interesting that we never saw another Let's Go after Pikachu and Eevee.
Yeah, that's right.
And so when Legends Arceus was released in 2022, it seemed just as likely that maybe this would be a one-time thing and we would never hear from the Legends series ever again. But
yeah,
we are, and seemingly, there's not any other Pokemon game coming in 2024, and all of the DLC that we know of, and I haven't heard any rumors that there's going to be more for Scarlet and Violet is finished. So, is 2024 going to be a year without a console Pokemon?
Which is an uncommon occurrence. So, there have been new Pokemon games, there have been Pokemon games released on Switch every year since it came out. The first year was just the Pokken Tournament DX, and then the second year was the Let's Go games. But then 2019 is when we finally get Sword and Shield. 2020, we get the DLC for it. 2021, we get the remakes of Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl. 2022, we get Legends Arceus and the Gen 9 games. And then last year, of course, the DLC. So, like, there has been a big Pokemon presence on Switch every year, except possibly for this one. I still, like, looking at the calendar here, if we, like, put it in relationship to, if we put Legends Arceus and Legends ZA in, like, the same sort of, like, category, I think it's possible that we could see a remake of some kind in the vein of Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl this year, for holiday this year.
It is interesting that my expectation anyways, was that at the Pokemon Presents, we would hear about a Pokemon title that would be Nintendo's holiday 2024
yes.
title, and that did not happen. And so, again, Nintendo's 2024 remains incredibly mysterious.
Right.
I also think that although we had heard that a new Detective Pikachu was in development years ago, like, you know, as early as 2018.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Like, it's been many years. It was many years between it being announced and showing up on Switch last year. I think it's possible, you know, we didn't actually have it confirmed. I don't think that it was releasing on Switch last year until, like, September or maybe June in the June Direct or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, well, and I think those kinds of, like, you know, I don't think we had a ton of lead time on the, like, new Pokemon Snap, for example. They could make a new, I guess I don't really know what the point of it would be, but, like, they could make a new Pokemon Stadium game, right? And just, like, put that out.
Or a new Mystery Dungeon, because the only one that we had on Switch was the remake, right?
Yeah.
So I guess what I'm saying is it was interesting to me that nothing was announced for 2024 mm-hmm. on Switch, but I also think it's possible that a game of, you know, Mystery Dungeon caliber could be coming later. They just didn't announce it as part of the Pokemon Day presentation.
Yeah, I mean, just would be very it would be surprising if there's no Pokemon game this year. Like, the only Pokemon game last year was just the DLC for Scarlet and Violet. And, like, you know, I know that, like, a lot go ahead
and Detective Pikachu
and Detective Pikachu, you're right. And I know that, like, some of the sort of, like, conversation around you know, like, what does a 2025 release date for Legends, what does that mean for the release date of the next generation of Pokemon? And in the last couple years, in the last two decades, there's been a new generation of Pokemon every 3 years, right? 2013, 2016, 2019, 2022. Does that mean we think we should be expecting, like, Legends at the beginning of 2025 and Gen 10 at the end of 2025? Or is that going to be, like, a holiday 2026 release? Like, are they starting to like push back out to these like longer development cycles and bigger distance between generations?
That is, I mean, if the next generation is in 2025, it would be a 2022 situation all over again, where you have a Legends game at the beginning of the year and then a new generation at the end of the year.
Yeah.
But also that like holiday 2021 into early 2022 was such a, it felt like a lot of Pokemon, because you had the remakes at the end of 2021, Legends Arceus at the beginning of 2022, and then the new generation at the end of 2022.
Right.
So it was just like bang, bang, bang. And yeah, it's hard. You know, a few months ago, we talked about a news item where, you know, the head of the Pokemon company or Game Freak or somebody was saying, we have heard the feedback about the technical performance of the games, and we know we need to balance that with basically getting games them out.
Time. Yeah, I mean, it is very interesting, because like the new Legends game, just like the previous one, is being developed by Game Freak, right? Like, and they make all of the mainline like new generation games. They made Scarlet and Violet, and so now they've got this other game coming out 3 years later. Is that right? 3 years from 2022 to 2025. Yes. I guess we don't know when in the year. If it's an early in the year launch, just like the first Legends was, then they could be kind of on top of each other. But like, do we know, are there multiple development teams within Game Freak?
We do know that. Okay. Yeah.
Well, then that's it's just interesting to consider that like they've developed this like other pillar. It's not, Legends isn't like a one-off kind of thing. It's like another avenue that they're exploring to like express what Pokemon is from the main mouthpiece of Pokemon game making, Game Freak.
Yeah. Yeah, and like you said, it's really hard to know, is the fact that it's moved to 2025 the fruit of them saying, hey, let's make sure that the technical performance of these games are better, so let's still, you know, move it out a little bit. Is it just consideration for I don't know, you know, like, do they have another reason they don't want to release it in 2024, and we shouldn't expect that the next generation is going to take any longer than 3 years? You know what I mean? Like, is it just a weird one-off, or is it the start of a pattern? We just don't know yet.
Yeah, it's a good question, and I think like they could reasonably, I think, like, you know, we've talked about like the problem of waiting longer than 3 years between generations, and they have done it before. The period between gens 3 and 4, and mind you, this is a different universe. We're talking the early 2000s, is 5 years. Gen 3 came out in 2002. Gen 4 came out in 2007. and, you know, there's also like a generational leap in there from the GBA to the DS, which obviously meant that they had to do a lot of different work to make these games ready, to get these characters ready, the models and all that kind of stuff. We're not going into the same level of generational shift, I can almost guarantee it, with whatever the new Switch is going to be. But like, do they just use that, like, just ride that idea and be like, yeah, we can do 4 years, we can do 5 years between mainline releases?
Especially because Pokemon is in such a different place than it was
totally
20 years ago, right? Yeah. Like, Pokemon is more popular now than it's ever been. You have Pokemon Go, you have all these other mobile games that are all constantly seemingly celebrating their four and a half year anniversary.
Do we think they must, right? The mobile games must be like financially successful, right? Like, they must be,
I feel like
pulling
their
weight, like Masters and Sleep and
I wonder about Sleep, and, you know, like, some of those maybe not, but I feel like the main ones must be. But then you have, you know, you have those, you have the anime, but then you also have things like Pokemon Concierge, and you have, do you know what I mean? Like, it just feels like Pokemon is in a totally different universe, so maybe they can afford to wait longer between generations now, because kids who are their target audience, are still engaged with Pokemon in so many different other ways that, yeah, if, like, a new generation takes another year or two to come out, they're not as, maybe they don't have to be as worried about kids kind of like falling out of it.
Yeah. It's how funny that like the announcement of not a new generation of Pokemon has us talking about when we will see the new generation of Pokemon.
Well, I suppose the time has come for me to stumble over some Pokemon names that I'm unfamiliar with, because we should talk about the little bit that we know about Pokemon Legends Z-A, what it actually is. So it's set in the Kalos region, which is based on France and was first introduced in the 2013 games Pokemon X and Y.
Mm-hmm.
And the game itself will take place in Lumio City, and we know that Mega Evolutions will return.
The thing about Lumio City, or at least as it's presented in the trailer, which the trailer's kind of trippy, right? Like, we're not getting any real sense of like what the moment-to-moment gameplay is like, but we get sort of a view of the setting, right? And it seems like it is maybe a future-y kind of city. Arceus took place in the past, and like is not just it takes place in the past, but like you're a kid from the present day who gets sucked through time.
I forgot that was part of the framing of it.
So is the framing device for this new game going to be that you time travel to the future? Are you the same kid who like got, I have no idea if the kid gets home at the end of Arceus, but like if he does, then do you send that same kid to the future? I don't know.
Bad luck.
I mean,
do you remember how did he get to the past?
Yeah, Pokemon did it.
Oh.
I mean, when anything happens to anyone in a Pokemon game, the answer is a Pokemon did
it. Yeah, no. Shame on me for asking that.
John Schwartzwelder, one of the writers of The Simpsons, and like famous recluse and like weirdo who would like write Simpson scripts from like a booth in a diner smoking cigars until they kicked him out, wrote a series of novels about a detective, like a noir detective named Frank Burley, whose superpower is that like he doesn't mind being beaten up. And the first novel is called The Time Machine Did It. And I just, it's so, what a perfect like name for a high concept detective novel that's going to be all jokes. And just a Pokemon did it, made the Time Machine Did It pop into my head. Thoroughly recommend.
I guess the other sort of biggish news out of the Pokemon Presents is that Pokemon trading card game Pocket will be coming to mobile in 2024, being developed as a partnership between Creatures Inc. and DNA.
So Creatures is obviously one of the three companies that co-owns Pokemon co-owns the Pokemon company, right?
Yeah,
the Pokemon company co-owned by Creatures,
Nintendo, and Game Freak.
Yes, we're getting there. And they make the trading card game, so it's obviously going to be true to the like experience of playing the actual physical, you know, cardboard card game. But then teamed up with DNA, which obviously Nintendo has teamed up with before to make their mobile games.
And set up that joint venture.
That's right.
For DNA to kind of like, I guess, take over Nintendo accounts. Like,
right, yes.
Or develop, work on features for them or something like that.
Now, hold on a minute. Nintendo Systems Co. Or no, Nintendo Systems Limited. Was that like part of a merger with DNA?
It wasn't a merger. It was a joint venture.
Okay. Yeah. So this is another like multiple companies owning a company that we don't totally understand.
Yes.
Okay, great.
The Pokemon trading card game Pocket includes quick play mode that lets you play shorter versions of the game using the mechanics. And you can also open 2 booster packs per day for free.
And it looks, I mean, it looks very, the UI of it looks very appealing. You just sort of like swipe across the top of the booster pack and then you open up you can see the cards one at a time, what you got from it. It seems like a perfect, little like hit of that sort of trading card game, the thing dopamine.
Yes. And the fact that you get 2 for free makes me think that they'll make a lot of money
because you can pay for others.
Extra packs.
Mm-hmm.
It also features immersive cards that let you go inside the world of them.
And that is, we're using their language there. Did you watch the trailer for this?
I didn't see this part.
Okay. So it is, like, you know, there's the still sort of like graphic of what is on the card. And it's always in these, like, I feel like the card art is where they sort of let artists have a little bit more leeway to like draw things in their own style, their own design, very much like, you know, Magic the Gathering would do. So it's these cool drawings of the Pokemon, and then like the camera goes into the picture and explores like the space around it. And like not just right around it, like you're not just getting a little bit more like to the left or to the right. It seems like the camera is like drifting off down the road to like other Pokemon and creatures landscapes and stuff like that. So it's unclear to me exactly how much of that you'll be able to explore or what the actual utility of that would be, but it's encouraging. I feel like Pokemon has this like art style that I'm like, okay, like sort of anime standard, right? And when I see something like these Pokemon cards with art that's a little bit more distinct, a little bit more specific, or like Pokemon Concierge, that I just want them to explore that more. And it seems like this is, at the very least, an opportunity to explore that more.
Yeah, that just sounds nice. I think the world of Pokemon sounds so appealing that, you know how they make, I'm thinking of on like Disney Plus, they have some of those like, it's like Star Wars sunsets or something.
Right.
And it's almost just a screensaver for your TV with some nice music.
Right. And they do like with planets too, where it's just like a flyover of like Jakku or whatever.
Yes. And I'm thinking, yeah, like if this card thing is like that, but for Pokemon, that sounds nice.
Do you think if there was a like Star Wars flyover thing of Jakku, one of Jakku and one of Tatooine, that you'd be able to tell the difference between the two?
No, I don't think I would.
Unless they're like crashed Imperial ships, then you would know it's Jakku.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be the only way to know. Or if you see like Mos Eisley or something.
Right. Or like Jabba the Hutt.
If he's just like walking around. Yeah.
Yeah. Last week, after we recorded our news episode, word dropped that Nintendo was suing Tropic Haze, the makers of the popular Switch emulator Uzu. Nintendo alleged that Uzu violates the anti-circumvention and anti-trafficking provisions of the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, which, I'm definitely not an expert, but like emulation has been legally tested many years ago, and nobody has really, but it was not test. It's never been tested under the Digital Millennium Copyright Act. And nobody really, we've kind of talked about this past, nobody really wants emulation to go to court because neither side, right? Like, there's always the chance that Nintendo could take a company to court or people to court against emulation, and a judge could find that emulation is totally legal. And on the people who create emulators, there's always the chance that they could go to court and it could be found that they're totally...
And then go to jail.
Exactly, and they're totally illegal, and that would have broad ramifications for emulation, and so nobody has really wanted to test those waters.
Right.
So, but the, like, doing it under the Digital Millennium Copyright Act was kind of, would be a novel, new test of, like, legal test of emulation.
Right, and the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, DMCA, like, you hear about that a lot in terms of, like, DMCA takedowns of videos. Our podcast has recently gone on to YouTube. You can listen to the show there if you like. It's not video of us. It's just the audio from the shows. But some of those get DMCA strikes against them because we will, you know, play a little bit of music from, you know, as part of a joke or something.
Uh-huh.
Which usually just means that we can't monetize the videos, which we don't anyway. You know, it's that's where you hear DMCA the most, sort of just in common usage.
And then Nintendo also alleged that Uzu, the emulator, is, quote, primarily designed to circumvent several layers of Nintendo Switch encryption, so that way its users could play copyrighted games. They also stated that over 1 million copies of Tears of the Kingdom were downloaded ahead of launch, and at the same time that was happening, Uzu's Patreon support doubled.
Yep.
And so what Nintendo wanted was money, and basically to wipe Tropic Haze and Uzu, like, off the face of the earth.
Nuke it from orbit.
They wanted money. They wanted all of the domains turned over to Nintendo. They wanted everything, like, deleted, erased, you know, like, basically gone.
And the sort of like evidence of like a million copies of Tears of the Kingdom downloaded. Like that is there. It's so interesting that like, you know, the sort of like piracy and emulation thing for me always comes down to there are so many things that are so many ROMs that are available for games that Nintendo literally cannot sell you, right? Like they don't have the means to sell you a game on 3DS anymore. They just don't, or on Wii or Wii U, like all these games, right? And so for them to enforce any sort of like copyright claim over their material that they aren't selling to you right now, it doesn't feel like they don't have the right to do it, but it is kind of like, what are you doing?
Same with like, exactly. Like last week when we talked about the Virtual Boy emulator.
Yes, exactly.
Right? Yeah.
It's a thing that like also that Nintendo is embarrassed of and would never sell, right? So like, yeah, let pirates use it. However, the counterpoint here is like, yes, and also people are you know, spending money to support this pirate platform that is selling brand new games that they sure are selling right now for $70.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a I know there's a lot of strong feelings,
yes,
about emulators one way or the other. Yeah, I've always kind of fall in the same bucket as you, where it's like, yeah, like retro games, that sort of stuff makes a ton of sense. I think the argument for, you know, emulation of modern hardware is that there are non-illegal uses of it. Like you can own a copy of Tears of the, yes, Kingdom, and then you could use this to run it on your PC and
mod
like
it 120 or whatever,
frame,
yeah,
like, mm-hmm, whatever you want to do. But I think there's also no denying that a lot of the use is like piracy.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
So that was what that last week, that's what Nintendo wanted. And then just yesterday, it was announced that they have reached a tentative agreement that basically gives Nintendo everything that they asked for. So Tropic Haze will pay Nintendo $2,400,000. Both Yuzu, the Switch emulator, and the Nintendo 3DS emulator Citra they've announced that they're going to shut down. Like the code base is already gone from GitHub.
Mm.
It's gone. The like all the social stuff is going to be shut down. The Patreon's going to be shut down. You know, they have a Discord that's going to be shut down. Tropic Haze agrees in the settlement. Like as part of the settlement agreement, they agree that that Uzu is, quote, primarily designed to circumvent and play Nintendo Switch games, and basically are surrendering the domains, everything, all the tools that they used for people to be able to kind of like crack their Switch games, like all that kind of stuff,
right,
is just being, it's gone, it's going to be gone.
I mean what does that mean, basically, that like Nintendo came to them with? Because like, this is a settlement, this isn't still has not been actually tested in a courtroom, right? But they fold here pretty completely. And is that just a matter of like, well, Nintendo's got more money than God and they can spend that on attorneys?
I it has to be,
yeah,
that's the case, right? Where whoever their the Tropic Haze's legal representation was like, I, you know, one way or another, they're just gonna bleed you dry,
right? Yeah,
like, yeah, $2,400,000 is a lot of money,
but it could be way more than that.
Yeah.
In legal fees? You kidding?
Yeah.
And so, then if they lose, like, yeah.
So, yeah, that's my guess. Hey, there are new Super Mario World and Animal Crossing New Horizons icons available for your profile on Nintendo Switch Online.
Now, I know what you're saying. Yawn. Right? Who cares? This happens every week. There are new icons available. You spend your platinum points. Blah, 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 blah. Patrick's the only person who does it.
But there's a twist.
There's a twist!
In order to redeem your points for these icons, you have to actually play the game first.
Which is interesting. They, you know, obviously use a lot of different, like, tools to sort of drive you to the games that you already have access to if you're subscribing to Nintendo Switch Online. Sometimes it's like, you know, a weekly mission of, like, you get some platinum points if you play Yoshi's Island or whatever. And now for this one, they say you had to play Super Mario World while the event is active to redeem points for the icon elements related to this game.
I
think it's sort of cool.
I think it's fun. I am looking at the icons. You posted them in the show notes.
They're rad.
They just reminds me how much I love that hand-drawn like art style from that era.
I mean, there's a good like Mario with the cape. There's a good like Mario with the cape riding Yoshi. There's a good sleepy baby Yoshi. Like, I don't know. They're all good. Like, I'm going to go home and do this tonight.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun. A new Splatfest is coming up in Splatoon 3. It runs March 22nd to 24th and asks, what instrument would you play? Drums, guitar, or keyboard?
And it isn't actually written out as guitar. Mark's taking some artistic liberties there. I do you find it interesting that they're not like, what instrument do you play? Or what instrument would you like to, but it's what instrument would you play? As though playing an instrument is an impossibility.
Well, for me, it kind of is because I.
No, it's not impossible. You
could
learn,
Mark. No,
you're
right. It's not. I've dabbled at a keyboard before.
There you go.
I guess I would say keyboard.
You would say keyboard. Yeah. Okay. And I am by training a bassist.
Mm-hmm.
When I play Rock Band, I like to play the drums.
Okay. Do you feel disrespected by this question because bass isn't an option?
I mean, of course. But I mean, that is the role of the bass player. It would be not appropriate for them to include bass on this list. It is also, as far as like rock and roll is concerned, just a different kind of guitar.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm also going to go keyboard here. Because I also do play piano, so that's a fun. I like the question. Like,
I think that's a good one too.
It seems cool.
Finally, Mario Day, which is March 10th, is coming up, and Lego and Nintendo are teasing an announcement of some sort in a short 5-second teaser. It's played like it's the beginning of a presentation, and then the announcer is interrupted by the sound of a door opening, and the announcer's like, how did they get in here? And then a quick cut to logos for Lego and Super Mario, and the caption, surprises are coming your way.
Okay, so, new Lego Mario something? Probably?
Yeah.
It might just be more of the like sort of prestige Nintendo like Lego packages that aren't part of the like Lego Mario series.
The fact that it's the two logos for Lego and Super Mario makes me think that it is, but maybe the how did they get in here is talking about like there were rumor, or maybe it was actually announced. I honestly can't remember. Was the Zelda Deku Tree?
No, not really announced. That was just leaked.
Okay.
Yeah. The Animal Crossing stuff was announced.
Oh, okay.
And revealed last week.
Because I was trying to think, like, what in the Mario series would
you not
warrant
want to
how did they get in here? Baby Marios?
Sure. Pikmins.
Pikmins? Not really in the Mario
really
universe,
Mario.
But...
I mean, the Koopa Kids?
Koopa Kids.
Although, have we already seen Lego Koopa Kids?
I don't think so.
I hesitate to even say this, because... then I feel like we're missing a logo, but the Rabbids?
Oh, uh-huh.
The Rabbids, I think anytime they bust into any room, the appropriate response is, how did they get in here? I don't know. I mean, maybe it's just like a bunch of Goombas, too, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it could be anything.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out on March 9th, because...
Wait, the announcement is on March 9th?
Yes, that's right. So Mario Day is March 10th.
Okay, which is a Sunday.
It
so
is a
like,
Sunday.
It's not a day that we do business. It's a day that we put on ties.
That's right.
Pay respects to the Lord.
Exactly. So squeaking it in on March 9th. But also, there are unrelated rumors. We'll hear more about Luigi's Mansion 2 HD and the Thousand Year Door remake around Mario Day. So...
Right. Well, and we were just talking about this at the beginning of the episode, that beyond Princess Peach Showtime, we don't have any release dates for first-party Nintendo games. Are we ever in a scenario where we don't have any release dates for anything? That, like, the last announced Nintendo first-party game is out and we don't have any other release dates?
I don't feel like that's ever happened before. I feel like we would have panicked much more.
I don't think it has happened... in the run of our show, right? I mean, maybe, actually, maybe when we started, were there any, because we started in October of 2016, right? So at that point, before the Switch was even technically revealed, did we have a release date for something that was coming to the Wii U at the end of 2016?
I mean, I guess.
Maybe 3DS.
Guess technically,
yeah.
We knew, we maybe didn't have a release date, but we knew the Breath of the Wild was coming sometime in the future.
Right.
But I don't really know that you can count that, but so no, but I do think.
Oh, I guess also Pokemon Sun and Moon were coming out on 3DS in 2016. So that would have been November.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't think we're ever in a scenario where we have no dates for the next Nintendo first party thing.
It seems unlikely that it would be this year, but if it was going to be any year, this would be the one.
Or we get release dates for these two remakes on Mar 10 Day. How, of course, do you celebrate Mario Day?
I celebrate by, you know, normally I'm not one to go to
church.
Yeah. I was struggling to think of what is the like Mushroom Kingdom equivalent of church, but maybe it's just church.
I mean, there's a chapel in Marymore in Super Mario RPG, which I know we stopped talking about before you gave an update saying, by the way, I beat Super Mario RPG. So I'm just assuming you abandoned it.
I didn't finish it. But yeah, so maybe my answer is I don't normally go to the chapel in Marymore, but for Mario Day,
I do.
And so I'll dress up in my best dicky and cummerbund.
Right. I'm telling you, just wear a bib. All right, Mark, let's close this out. All right, that is going to do it for this episode of Nintendo Cartridge
Society.
Was
there a chapel on the moon in Super Mario Brothers Odyssey?
Yeah, because that's where they were going to get married.
That's the like chapel I would go into in the Mario universe.
Oh yeah,
I think.
It's on the moon. I just gotta like say that I think it's very cool that you and I are both like Nintendo focused game players, but our there are things that just like for whatever reason end up not speaking to the other or to one of us, and like Super Mario RPG for whatever reason wasn't really working for you. I got way into it, and then like another code Recollection came out, you got really into it, didn't totally work for me. I just think we've got a good balance thing happening here, I think we're lucky in that regard.
I completely agree. Also, if you can think of other examples of chapels or churches or places,
sure.
So of course, Dragon Quest is lousy with them.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
But not a Nintendo game. Let us know.
Well, they're all over Zelda, right? Like, there's the Temple of Time.
Oh, yeah.
Although, are those churches?
Well, but there are, they do worship the goddess of Hyrule.
That's a great point.
You know, so.
Goddess is.
Yeah.
There's three of them.
Yep.
Like, Din, Feror, and, like, Nairu.
It's all sound really close. Like, I would believe it.
That's going to do it for this episode of Nintendo Cartridge Society. Remember, you should join our Discord if you have not already. Email us, and I will send you an invitation. Anthony DeLuca made our logo. Our theme music is provided by 8-Bit Betty. You can get more of his music by going to 8bitbetty.com or by listening right now. For my co-host, Mark Mitchell, this is Patrick Ehlers, saying thank you for listening.